Mark chapter 6, the verse 34, it says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." The Gospel of Mark is an action-packed account of the Lord's ministry. And through the Gospel of Mark, we get a continued sense of the busyness that the Lord experienced during his ministry. And that sense of busyness is certainly brought forth in the words of verse 31. Mark 6 and the verse 31. "He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." There were many coming and going that they didn't even have an opportunity to eat. And we can see in that how occupied the Lord's ministry really was. And the Lord having a heart for his disciples, for a time he removed them from that situation. And he took them away from that draining situation and that exhaustion. And he took them across the lake. And this was to be a time of physical, emotional and spiritual restoration. But that time, it was to be cut short. For as the Lord and the disciples made their way across the lake in the boat, and many people moved around the shore in order that they might come to the Lord again. And so that time of rest was cut short. We read then in verse 34, "Jesus when he came out." Jesus when he came out saw much people and was moved with compassion. Had that been the disciples that came forth first of all? Had it been ourselves that it would come forth first of all? In all likelihood we would have scolded the crowd. We would have said we need this kind of rest. But that is not what the Lord did. Though the Lord did need that break, he needed that refreshment. We see his humanity set forth in this. He was one that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knew what it was to be weak and to be weary, to be fatigued. But yet, he didn't drive away the crowd. But as he looked upon them, he was moved with compassion. And so we read there that he saw much people. And we notice there the Lord's open eyes. And he not only saw the people in terms of their physical appearance, but he saw right into their hearts. He saw their spiritual state. And so then the Lord's eyes were open. And but we notice also the Lord's open heart. Now, for we read of how the Lord was moved with compassion. And not only then did the Lord see, but there was a great experience in the Lord's own heart as he was moved with compassion. And that word compassion is very descriptive in the Greek. It has the idea of being moved in the very depths of his being, of feeling great pain because of what others were suffering. Robert Murray McShane, as he commented on this particular portion, he emphasised how it does reveal the humanity of Christ. And for when we see someone suffering, someone broken, someone helpless, we ought to be moved with compassion. We ought to have our hearts moved as we see someone suffering and broken, someone hopeless. When Christ saw the situation of these people, his humanity was revealed. Though God, yet he was touched with the feeling of the infirmities of these people. Today what I want us to look at is the opened eyes and open heart of Christ. And I want to see various implications that arise from the open eyes and open heart of Christ. I want to see first of all that we see in this the dreadful plight of the sinner. For we read there in that verse 34, "Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And we read then why the Lord was moved with compassion. It wasn't primarily because of their poverty, though I'm sure he had compassion toward them because of that. It wasn't entirely because of sickness and ill health, though the Lord was moved when he saw people in sickness and in ill health. The Lord was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Remember, the Lord has a very accurate vision of the hearts of men. There is nothing concealed from him. And there are times when we might look at people and we might draw an analogy to describe how we portray them, but we might be very wrong in that portrayal. But we must understand that when Christ looked at the people and he saw them like sheep not having a shepherd, that's exactly what these people were like. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Remember, the Lord was speaking here in an Eastern context. The sheep without a shepherd were Eastern sheep. The shepherd was an Eastern shepherd. And so the shepherd in the East was vital for the well-being of the sheep. Back in my country, the farmer puts his sheep into the field, or you might call it here the paddock. He puts the sheep into the field and he closes the gate behind him. And unless it's lambing time, he won't come back again until the next day. And he'll come back and he'll count the sheep, look at them. And again, he'll close the gate and come back the next day. And that is not how shepherding was done in the East. In the East, the shepherd effectively lived with the sheep. And so he was with them at all times. He led the sheep. He guided the sheep. He guarded the sheep. And so the sheep needed the shepherd to guide them, because sheep have a tendency to stray. The sheep have a tendency to go their own way. They don't necessarily know what is good for them. And so in the East, it required the shepherd to be with them and to show them the way. And the thing that would motivate them to follow was this growing awareness that the shepherd could lead them to the best pasture. The shepherd could lead them to the best place to drink. If they sought to go their own way, they wouldn't make it. And so they needed the shepherd to guide them. But it was also the duty of the shepherd to guard the sheep, for the sheep in the East were in great danger from wild animals. The wolves would come away and steal the sheep from the flock. So the shepherd remained with the sheep in order to defend them, in order to chase away the wild animal. And that dual role of the shepherd to guide and to guard is reflected in the instruments that the shepherd had. Remember, in the 23rd Psalm, we read of how the shepherd has both a rod and a staff. The rod and the staff, and those two instruments, they were absolutely vital for the shepherd to guide and to guard the sheep. The rod in Scripture very often has the association with the idea of ruling over. And so the rod was used to control the sheep. It was used to count the sheep. The sheep would pass under the rod. It was used to correct the sheep. And so as the shepherd took the rod, he was showing that he ruled over them. Then he also had the staff, or the crook. He would use that to gather the sheep and to lead the sheep. And these people then the Lord saw. As the Lord looked into that crowd, he likened them on to sheep that have no shepherd. They were vulnerable. There was none, as it were, protecting them and guiding them with the rod and staff. There was no prospect of them finding water, even though they were thirsty. There was no prospect of them on their own finding pasture, even though they were hungry. They were in great danger from wild animals. And in the East, if the sheep was left on its own, in all likelihood, it would perish. It would be lost. And that's how the Lord looked upon these people. They were in great danger. And spiritually speaking, they were hungry. Spiritually speaking, they were thirsty. But there was nothing that the Pharisees and the scribes could provide. They were in great danger of perishing. And yet, no message that they were hearing from the religious men of that day would do anything to protect them. And the Lord, as he looked upon them then, he looked upon them in compassion. His heart, as it were, was deeply wounded as he considered their true state. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the unchanging one. As he looks into the hearts of those that are still outside of Jesus Christ today, he still has a heart that is moved with compassion. He still sees the unsaved as sheep that are without a shepherd. He still sees them as those that are in great danger of perishing before the great enemy of the soul, the devil. He is intent on the destruction of the lost. He is intent that the sheep that are without the shepherd would go on in that state, and that they would be lost forever. And why would a sheep be in a place of danger? There are two reasons why a sheep would be in a place of danger. First of all, because the sheep was born with the nature of a sheep. A sheep, when it's born, is not born with the nature of some other animal. It's born with the nature of a sheep. The second reason then why it would be in danger is because it has acted in accordance with its nature. And so since then, it is with a nature to stray. The sheep then has acted in accordance with its nature. It has strayed. Why then does the Word of God describe the sinner as being lost? For those very same reasons. Because of the nature of the sinner. We are all born in sin. We have all been shapen in iniquity. And so we are all children of Adam. And Adam then being that one that is fallen, we have been conceived in sin. In Psalm 58 in the verse 3 it says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Why is it that when children are born that they don't need to be taught to lie? Why is it as children grow up that they don't need to be taught how to steal or to defy their parents? Because they're acting in accordance with the nature that they're born with. And so the sinner goes astray as soon as it's born. As soon as he or she is born. And as the Lord looks upon you, dear one, that sits without Jesus Christ, the Lord looks in you in compassion. Because you are a sheep that is without a shepherd. You're one that is in danger of perishing. One that is in danger of being lost forever. In 1 Kings chapter 22 in the verse 17, we read there of how Ahab was seeking to unite with Jehoshaphat to go out and battle against the common enemy. And we read in that chapter of how Micaiah was a faithful prophet of the Lord. And Micaiah, as that a faithful prophet of the Lord, had often spoken words that had offended Ahab, words that Ahab hadn't liked. In the 1 Kings 22 and the verse 17, Micaiah said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. The Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And what we find here was that Ahab was not a true shepherd. And as the sheep, the men and women of Israel were stretched over the hills, as it were, the prophet said, "I see them as sheep that are without a shepherd." The Lord had that very same image then in view in Mark chapter 6. as he saw the multitudes. They were abandoned by those that ought to have been shepherds. They had been used by those that ought to have been shepherds. They were likened to sheep that were without a shepherd. Now you think of what the Lord is saying here in Mark chapter 6, as we have these words, the Lord was moved because they were like sheep without a shepherd. As the Lord looked upon these people, he could say, I see them as sheep without a shepherd, yet I came to be a shepherd. I see them as sheep without a shepherd, and yet I came to be the shepherd. Is the these words, are they not really equivalent to what the Lord said in John 5 and verse 40? Ye will not come unto me, that ye might obtain. Ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. The Lord is the shepherd, and yet the people would not come to the shepherd. And perhaps there's one in the meeting this morning, and you have heard the wonderful message of the gospel prior to this occasion. And you have been shown that you're lost. You have been shown that you are without Christ. You have been shown that you do not have Christ as your Savior, as your Lord and Master, that the devil rules over you. But you've also heard that wonderful news of the invitation of the gospel, where Jesus says, come unto me. And yet as you sit in this meeting, you still are without him. You cannot say, the Lord is my shepherd. Those days you read these words, the Lord saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. May you see a wonderful invitation to you, that today the Lord invites you to come to him. The Lord invites you to leave your sin. The Lord invites you to come, not seeking to make yourself better, that you would earn your way to God, that you would come in simple faith and cry to him for mercy. So as we think of this, the open eyes and open heart of Christ, we see the dreadful plight of the sinner. But I want to see, secondly, we see the wonderful position of the saved. For the Lord did not see his disciples as sheep without a shepherd. In verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. That is not how the Lord looked upon his disciples, because if you look with me at verse 31, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And the Lord there is the shepherd. He saw the need of his disciples, these sheep. And as the Lord saw the need of the disciples, he led them from that situation. He led them to rest. So in verse 32, they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And so the child of God is not a sheep without a shepherd, but the child of God is a sheep who has a shepherd. A sheep who has a shepherd. A sheep that was lost, but now has been found. Now it is true the Lord sees us as sons of God. It is true that the Lord sees us as heirs of God and a joint heirs with Christ. How are we to see ourselves? In humility of heart, we are to see ourselves as sheep that were lost, but have been found by the Lord. A sheep that were defenseless, a sheep that were in danger, but now have a shepherd. And though that we would have that lowly view of ourselves, and that we would see that if it were not for the shepherd, we would still be in the place of danger. We would still be without pasture. We would still be without a guard and a guide. But praise God in his mercy, the shepherd came after us. Praise God in his mercy, the shepherd has drawn us to himself. And I believe as Christ is presented as the shepherd, we see him in his work as prophet, priest, and king. For the Old Testament does liken rulers to shepherds, and whether that is a prophet, a priest, or a king, Rulers are likened to shepherds. Remember how in Numbers 27, as Moses was nearing the end of his ministry, he was praying over the matter of one to be raised up to lead the people of God. In Numbers 27, verse 16, Moses prayed, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." And Moses there was praying, "Lord, raise up a man, that the children of Israel are not left without a ruler. They need someone to lead them. Otherwise they will be like sheep without a shepherd." And as God raised up Joshua, he was that shepherd. He was that one that led the people, that was used of God as the deliverer, the conqueror. And in that, of course, he is a wonderful type of Christ. In Ezekiel 34, and the verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And the rulers there in the land," and various rulers I believe are in view there, whether they be priests, whether they be political rulers, or and whether they be teachers, they were to be shepherds over the people, but they were not actually performing that role. The Lord then said, woe to the shepherds of Israel that feed themselves and not feed the flocks. And thinking of this then, Christ is set forth as the shepherd because he is the prophet. The prophets were to feed the people. They were to be like shepherds in that sense, placing spiritual food within the reach of the people. And as we think of this very incident that's before us in Mark chapter 6, when the Lord looked in compassion upon the people, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, none to feed them. At the end of verse 34, he began to teach them, because he is the great shepherd, the great prophet, the bread of life. The kings were to be shepherds, and therefore Christ, he is the king. I mentioned those words in 1 Kings 22, where we read of Ahab, how Ahab had failed to be a shepherd in his role as king. Christ is the great king, is the great shepherd, ruling over his sheep, protecting his sheep from danger. But then most importantly, the priests were to be shepherds. And it is this aspect of Christ's mediatorial work that we have really set forth in this wonderful picture of Christ as the shepherd. And so we have these words in Mark 6:34. "And when Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, the shepherd had compassion." Now if you look with me over in the book of Hebrews, and I want to show you that in this book of Hebrews that continually presents Christ as the high priest, that the high priest is the shepherd of compassion. Hebrews 13 and the verse 20. Hebrews 13 and the verse 20. And remember, this book is portraying Christ as the great high priest. In the verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will." If you turn back then with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 16. Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 16. "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the nature of Abraham." That is, when Christ came, he didn't take the nature of an angel in order that he might redeem men. But rather, if he was to redeem men, he must take the very nature of man. And so Christ was made perfectly like unto us, with this one exception, that he was without sin. And so in verse 17, wherefore in all things that behoved him, or it was necessary for him, to be made like unto his brethren, he had to be like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. He is able to comfort. And here Christ then, he took our nature. And we might say then, the one who is the shepherd appeared as a sheep. He laid down his life for us as the sacrificial lamb. And having come in our very nature, then he knows our feelings. He is able to comfort us. Because if you look at chapter 4, at chapter 4 and the verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, or to put it into the positive, we most certainly have a high priest which is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Christ as our high priest is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is moved with compassion. We sang the words earlier in the paraphrase, in every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows had a part. He sympathizes with our grief, and to the sufferer he sends relief. And if you're here this morning and you have Christ as your shepherd, there is one who is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. There is one who has great compassion upon you. He doesn't drive you away, but he's there as your guard, your guide, your comforter, the one who will lead you to pasture and lead you to water. Oh, child of God, then praise God afresh. You have a shepherd. But for those that are without Christ, as you think of those words, sheep without a shepherd, the Lord looks, yes, in compassion. Yet you cannot know his comfort because you yet reject him. And oh, today then that you would reject him no more. But today that you would come in mercy to him, that you would cry to him for mercy upon your soul. As we think then of the open eyes and the open heart of Christ, we see the dreadful plight of the sinner. We see the wonderful possession of the saint. And we want to see finally that we see here the exemplary pattern of the shepherd. For Christ, as he looked with compassion upon the sheep, is he not giving to us a wonderful pattern that we as the people of God are to follow? How are we to view the multitudes? As we look at the streets and we see the people passing by, how are we to look upon them? We are to have this heart of Christ. We are to be moved with compassion. We are to see the lost as sheep, not having a shepherd. On every occasion, through the Lord's ministry, when you have these words, the Lord looked with compassion, or the Lord was moved with compassion, you will find that that compassion was always followed by action. And we find that here, as the Lord was moved with compassion, he taught them, and not only that, the Lord fed them. And so these words really form the introduction to the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Now you think of that as we have that word, compassion. And the Lord was moved with compassion. That was something that was deep felt. And as it was deep felt, then it was acted upon. And through the New Testament scriptures, there are words that are related to this particular Greek word that are applied to the people of God. For example, in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. It's one of these words that has the idea of deep compassion. 1 Peter 3 in the verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful. And again, it's this same word, moved with compassion. In Philippians 2 in the verses 1 and 2, it speaks of the idea of compassion in terms of the bowels, because in those times, the inner feelings, as it were, are a picture for us that deep compassion. And the deep compassion there is likened to be the very mind of Christ. And God's people are exhorted to have that same mind. We are to put on bowels of mercies, we read in Colossians chapter 2. And many of those texts do relate to God's people having compassion to their brethren. We are to look in compassion upon God's people in their time of need. We are not to shut up the bowels of compassion. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So if we see need, but our hearts are closed, the word says, how does the love of God dwell in us? We are to have compassion upon others of God's people. And we are to have a heart of compassion upon the unconverted. We are to see them as sheep without a shepherd. If we can look in the multitudes and not be moved, then there is something tragically wrong with our hearts. Though that the Lord would break our hearts afresh before him, we would see the people, as it were, tramping that road to everlasting destruction. We would long to see precious souls being brought to the Good Shepherd of the sheep. We'll bow together, please, in prayer.